You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. It has been a week of jobs here on this program because they're jobs, and that's basically the whole smash right now. As you know, the economy added 559,000 of them in May, and that, as I'm sure you will be shocked to hear, is where we will begin the next 6.5 minutes of our day. Catherine Rempel's at the Washington Post. Kate Davidson is at the Wall Street Journal. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai.
Hi, Kai.
So, Catherine, let me start with you and what I said in the open there, expectations, schmexpectations, even though I probably said that wrong. Here's the deal.
There's no wrong way to say that made-up word.
All right, fine. 559,000 jobs is a lot of jobs, but a lot of the coverage this morning and through the day has been, oh, no, we missed. It's not as many as we thought. And I just want to push back on that for a minute because, let's be honest, this is a lot of jobs.
It's a lot of jobs. And look, the forecasts were all over the place. Yeah. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. Some people were expecting 1 million jobs. Some people were expecting 300,000 jobs. Right smack in the middle was this 670,000 number that gets cited as the consensus. But consensus implies a lot more unanimity than there actually was. So there was a lot of uncertainty here, right?
Yep.
I will say that it wasn't that long ago that economists were forecasting in the neighborhood, more economists, I should say, were forecasting in the neighborhood of 1 million jobs. And like last month, that was the forecast for last month, and expectations have been ratcheted down. And so in that sense, I guess it is a little disappointing, but look, we are clearly recovering, and it's going to take a while before we get back to where we were.
Yeah, Kate, I wonder if what this tells us is that this economy was deeply damaged. It will be rough and tumble for a while yet. Everybody calm down.
Yeah, I mean, and I think what it's also reflecting is what feels like, anyway, a little bit of a disconnect between like the broader economic recovery and the labor market, because it feels like things are roaring, right? People are going out, they're booking vacations for the summer, they're going back out to eat, they're starting to go and get haircuts and get their nails done and get the, you know, go for these services that they've been putting off for months. We know they were making big purchases. And so in a lot of ways, I think it feels like things are coming back in a big way. And yet you look at these numbers and it's like, well, yeah, I mean, okay, like you said, 559, I mean, that's certainly respectable. But like Catherine said, maybe a few months ago, I think more people thought they'd be a little bit bigger through the summer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we heard the president say today, and others have said, look, you can't really flip a switch. This downturn was so unusual. So it makes sense that the recovery would be a little bit weird too, and not exactly what people are expecting.
Yeah. I actually got a professional haircut yesterday for the first time in like a year and a half. And it felt,
that's great.
Oh yeah, it felt almost normal. I do want to talk though, Catherine, about the economy to come, right? Mitchell Hartman's going to come in about 4.5 minutes and do a piece on people getting back into the workforce. But look, we need to be cognizant of the fact that 25 states now, led by Republican governors, are cutting off the extra federal unemployment benefits. President Biden said today, I saw that he's okay with letting them expire in September. So it's not a done deal. Nothing's baked in yet.
No, and there is a lot of debate right now about how big of a factor it actually is that people are getting these more generous unemployment benefits. There was this study, this working paper that came out from the San Francisco Fed recently that estimated if there are 28 people who were unemployed, 7 of them right now are not taking jobs that they would have otherwise taken, and one of those 7 is turning down a job because of these more generous UI benefits. So it's a small but noticeable effect for some people, but there are all of these other factors too that might give people pause about returning to jobs, returning to the workforce, including lack of access to childcare, public transit, fears of getting sick. Some of those things will abate, obviously, as the public health crisis starts to fade, people get vaccinated, et cetera.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, the unemployment benefits are going to take away a lifeline for a lot of people. They might nudge some people back into the workforce, but we don't really know the magnitude of any of those effects quite yet.
Super quick here, Kate, and then we'll go to something else. But I do want to point out that wages were up like a lot. Average hourly wages were up, you know, in leisure and hospitality, like 3%, which is a good sign.
It is. And it's interesting because, you know, there are some people making the argument, kind of pushing back against the claims from businesses that these more generous benefits are holding people back or keeping them out. And the response from, I think worker advocates is, look, well, have you tried raising wages? Mm-hmm. I mean, what about that? And well, you know, look, there's some evidence to suggest that they are, and especially in some of those sectors where wages haven't been as strong. Wages in those sectors are still lagging average wages. So maybe there's room, some might say there's room for improvement there. You could be offering more if you feel like the labor market is so tight. But yeah, we are seeing movement there. So again, that does back up this idea that I think firms are having trouble retaining or rather attracting workers. And we kind of don't really exactly know why. And as Catherine suggested, it's going to take a little bit of time to see how that shakes out.
Catherine, this is a little bit sideways, and I don't even know what you're going to make of this question, but here goes. Are we having a worker shortage or a job shortage, right? Is it a worker crisis or a jobs crisis?
Yes. That's my answer. I think it's a little bit of both, honestly. If you talk to employers in a lot of sectors, they say that they are having trouble recruiting workers. They're trying to raise wages to the extent that they can. There are some constraints on how much they can raise wages, right? Like how much can they pass through higher prices to customers before customers balk? If margins are already really thin, it's not like they can give up a ton of money that the owners would be keeping and give that to workers, et cetera. So in that sense, employers are having trouble finding workers, but there are a lot of workers who haven't been recalled to their jobs. So it really depends on the area and what the facts on the ground look like in terms of infection rates and vaccinations, et cetera, the sector, and all sorts of other dynamics, like how big the firm is and how much more that they are able to pay. Right. If you look at surveys of firms themselves, they do say that they are having a lot of trouble finding workers. For example, in the National Federation of Independent Business survey, which they've been conducting for like 50 years of small and medium-sized businesses, a record high share said that they had vacancies that they couldn't fill. I think it was almost half. Yeah. So, you know, and that's relative to, if you want to say employers always complain about this, that's relative to what they've said in the past.
Sure.
This is a record high compared to what they've said in the past.
Sure.
So it's a little bit of both. There's some reallocation that I think will be going on, and that's part of our reopening pains.
Right.
Some workers are going to end up changing jobs, and some employers are going to end up having to rejigger their business models.
And that is where Mitchell Hartman will take us in about a minute and a half. Catherine Rempel at the Washington Post, Kate Davidson of the Wall Street Journal. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Kai.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.